Hello, I'm Shrantla Holochak, the founder and CEO of Uma, an Ayurvedic beauty and wellness collection. This is the Uma Elements podcast. Each week, I'll be having a conversation with someone I greatly admire on the topics of Ayurveda, holistic healing, spiritual well-being, and alternative health. By sharing wisdom, together, we will unlock a secret that as ancient as they are, Ayurveda and other ancient modalities are as modern and relevant today as ever.
Our guest today is Divya Alter, who I have had the privilege of having on the Uma Ayurveda podcast before. Divya is a prolific voice in the world of Ayurveda. Her work reminds us of the sacredness of food and how it can be harnessed to honor and nourish your health. She's the executive chef and co-owner of Divya's Kitchen, a uniquely positioned Ayurvedic restaurant in Manhattan. She's also the best-selling author of What to Eat for How You Feel, the new Ayurvedic Kitchen. As an Ayurvedic nutritional consultant and devoted student of Vaidya Ramkant Mishra and the Shakvansiya lineage of Ayurveda, Divya has been on a mission to help people find joy, nourishment, and balance through food. Beyond her culinary expertise, Divya is a living example of the power of pure loving energy and how that can be harnessed into the preparation of food that has the power to heal at the deepest level. Divya, per usual, I am excited and always just a little bit happily apprehensive about the call ahead, because every time I talk to you, I learn so much and walk away so inspired. So I am very thrilled to bring you to our audiences for a second time so you can illuminate us with your pearls of wisdom. I, per usual, have a list of questions that runs into pages and pages, but I will try to control myself and pick a few questions to pick your brain on. And I'm going to pull up and start extremely broad and almost ask you childlike questions.
Thank you so much for having me, Shrankla. It's wonderful to be back on your podcast. And I always feel the same way because you have such loving, such inviting, such kind energy. And that's the kind of energy we need in the world today. So thank you so much for being a beam, a bright light of this loving, feminine, kind energy. And thank you for having me back.
Gosh, so kind, Divya. Here's to circles of generosity expanding wide out in the world. And again, speaking of the world and starting very, very broad, I realize this is a fundamental, very basic sounding question. But I believe that food is, even though I am at the helm of a topical products company, food is the single most important aspect of balancing your life with Ayurveda and thriving. And I want to start very broad with your take on food, because I do know that your unique and brilliant perspective on it will anchor us back and remind us about the vitality of Ayurveda.
Yes, and this has been told by the sages of Ayurveda thousands of years ago, that ahara sambhavam vastu. So the food that we take in, and ahara means food, but not just food, it's everything we take in with our senses, including what we apply on our skin. What we put on our skin is food for the skin.
True, and so, thank you for that reminder, because yes, you know, we also take in through our eyes and ears. So you're right.
So whatever we take in becomes part of us, and especially the food that we put in our bodies through the digestion, assimilation, absorption process. These food particles, they transform to become part of us, of our body, and sometimes our mind as well. So food completely affects the way we feel, the way we look, our health. It has And also our mental capacity as well. Food has deep connections and deep effects on all of these areas.
That makes a ton of sense. And thank you for reminding us about what we put into our bodies. And another fundamental tenet of Ayurveda that I would love your perspectives on, because you have a very unique and enlightened one here, the concept of prana. I know it's an Ayurvedic term that does get thrown around, but I would love for you to educate us on what prana is and how can we ensure that we continue to support and build prana.
Yes, prana is the living force, is the energy that gives us life. In Chinese medicine, it's called qi or qi.
Right, like right.
Qi, prana. So this living force is all around us and also within us. So there is like this constant exchange of prana between every living entity and the surroundings and the cosmos, if you will. So we need prana to stay alive. When prana leaves the body, that's the difference between a living and a dead body. It's the prana has left, even though the body is still there physically. The body is still there, but prana and the soul have left the body. So my teacher, one of my Ayurveda teachers, Vaidya Ramakant Mishra, he spoke a lot about looking at food as one of the sources of prana. We also get prana from the air, we get prana from the water, but food is one of the main sources of prana. We have to eat to stay alive. And what really amazed me when I first listened to his lectures was that he would say every food carries a particular vibration, pranic charge, if you will, like energy charge, vibrational frequency. And that frequency, so if you compare, for example, the vibration of a fresh peach, is the peach season still here in New York City, a fresh peach that was just picked from the tree and a canned peach. Like compare the energy between the two. Nutritionally, they may have the same set of nutrients, you know, carbohydrates. I don't think there's any fat in peaches, but fiber, you know, whatever there may be, sugars, vitamin C, and that, like all these nutrients may be more or less the same. But if I served you a canned peach and a freshly picked peach from my organic garden, which one would you choose to put in your body, Shrankla?
I do believe that's a rhetorical question, but a powerful reminder of everything on the plate is not created equal, or maybe it was created equal, but is not rendered equally on your plate. And sometimes, you know, when just looking at nutritional values, we lose sight of where that came from, how long it has been around, and really what its vibrational energy is.
Yes. What energy we're putting in our body, this will have a great effect, because a lot of foods carry lower frequency, more dull or much lower energy. And when we eat these foods, for example, canned or microwaved, even frozen foods, like very old, like blue cheese, you know, it's like almost like rotten milk, or like, it's like when you eat these very low charged prana foods, we bring this vibration into our body and then we feel that way. We start feeling more sluggish. We start feeling more like foggy and dull, as opposed to eating fresh foods, especially foods in the plant-based world, that are so charged with energy. Even when you cook them, they still nourish you. Like you feel vibrant, you feel energized, also because they're much easier to digest. And, you know, I always recommend to my students, I've had thousands of students through our online cooking classes and culinary trainings that we teach all the time. And I have this exercise with my students is to become food detectives. And take one ingredient or one product that you regularly use, that you regularly eat, and trace the history of where this came from.
Sounds like a fun exercise.
No, but you will be shocked. Like yesterday, I was at the farmer's market. No, the other day, day before yesterday, I was looking for a sweet potato. And I went to this organic farm, I think they call it Halal Organic Farms here at Union Square. And I couldn't see sweet potatoes anywhere in the tent. And I asked the owner, do you have any sweet potatoes? And she picked like a bunch of sweet potatoes. They were just picked. They were still like on the plant.
Yeah.
They're all together, the tubers. And she picked it and she said, this is the first harvest. I just picked it this morning. This is the only sweet potatoes we have. You can have it. And I was like, wow, this is so amazing. Here's the history of this sweet potato. I saw the person who picked it. I know that it was picked this morning. And I received it that same day. And I cooked it this same day. I made sweet potato pudding for a friend of mine who just gave birth. I made her like a postpartum dish. And, you know, the history is they planted the sweet potato on their land. They harvested it. They put it in a truck. They brought it to the market same day, harvested, brought, and cooked. Very short history, right?
Right.
As opposed to another product, like take peanut butter, for example. and you know, when it was grown and how probably with lots of machines, harvested and then processed by lots of machines and then probably added some kind of preservative then packaged in plastic. And then who knows how long it was transported from where and then how long it's been sitting on the shelves and like all this unknown history of the food. This is all vibration, coming back to vibration and prana. So the shorter the history of the food is, the shorter you can trace the path of that food from where it comes from to your plate, into your body, the more healthy and more your body will respond to it and be able to assimilate the nutrients and feel nourished by it. And the more hazy and unknown the history is, the longer the history is, the harder it is for your body to process it.
I love the simplicity, yet the profundity of this way to judge your foods. And thank you for sharing that with us. You said something in there that I want to unpack a little bit more. Cooking for your friend who just gave birth, because now we're starting to talk about prana taking shape within us as human beings, as women, when we are pregnant, when we are giving birth. And I would say the magnified importance of eating well, because you're supporting a lot of prana. Tell us a little bit about that, Divya.
Yes, pregnancy, Ayurveda speaks, gives us a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom about nourishment during pregnancy and postpartum. And even before pregnancy, there is a whole protocol, there are many protocols and a lot of wisdom about nourishment to get pregnant, for fertility, because a lot of fertility issues are related to malnourishment. Again, doesn't mean you're starving. It means you may be eating a lot, but malnourishment in the sense that you're not eating nutrient-rich foods and they're not bioavailable to you. You're not digesting them, absorbing, assimilating them properly. So in terms of pregnancy, the very specific recommendations, it's very important. Yes, the mother is eating for the baby also. There are certain foods that have to be completely avoided, certain foods that are really recommended to eat more of, because these foods help to build tissues for the mother and also
makes
for
sense.
The baby. The baby is growing and it's building its tissues, bodily tissues. And then once the mother gives birth, there is a huge, like it's like a bomb on the body. There is, especially we're talking about natural birth, but even C-section, it's like very drastic change for the mother's body. And it's very, very important to follow very vata pacifying, very calming, very gentle diet during the first 40 days after giving birth to support the mother, to also support breast milk production, to avoid any kind of inflammation of the, you know, of the like mastitis and things like that, to also avoid postpartum depression as well. So all of these protocols have very specific goals. And my friend, she this was her second child. She her first child was very difficult pregnancy, very difficult childbirth. But her child is beautiful and very happy, is a wonderful person. And then her second child, she said for the second pregnancy, she followed Ayurveda. And, you know, I guided her. She has my cookbooks and all that.
Right.
And then she calls me. I saw her the day actually she gave birth. She was at the farmer's market and she's like, you know, and I'm like, how are you feeling? And she's like, I'm feeling great. No pain. And then a few hours later, her husband texted me and he's like, she just gave birth. She was in labor for 15 minutes only. 15 minutes with hardly any pain. And she gave birth to a beautiful, beautiful, very healthy boy. And both of them are doing great. So as soon as she told me she gave birth, I started cooking these very special preparations. That helps, they help to close the birth canal, they help to, you know, normalize digestion, and many other, it has many other goals, increase breast milk, and they're such delicious foods.
Yes.
Her husband was like, oh, this is really tasty. So this is the gift, Shrankla, this is the gift of Ayurveda from beginning of life. To support prana, because prana is life. So pregnancy is very much related to prana. So eating prana-rich foods that are easy to digest and nourishing will support a healthy child who it really is like service to the future generations. Proper nourishment for mothers during pregnancy and postpartum is a big service to all future generations, because children who grow up from nourished mothers, they're very much healthier individuals.
God, how powerful, and always sort of like a goosebumps type reminder of just how deep and manifest Ayurveda can be, you know, from the start right to through the journey of life and beyond, that it covers so much. And you touched on something which is a nice segue into what I want to talk about next, that Ayurveda is delightful. It's yummy. Yeah. It nourishes. It brings happiness. It brings contentment and satisfaction, which is what I love about Ayurvedic food, especially yours, in that it is not this exercise in deprivation, or it's not about cutting a million things out and putting yourself on a diet of water for 3 days. Mm-hmm. Your cleanses and the way you recommend cleanses mm-hmm. are actually delightful exercises that reset your body in a matter of 3 days, but without the pain. So as we go into seasonal transitions, I want to talk about cleanses. And a lot of people are doing them, but only some people are doing them right. And I want to understand from you what the importance of cleansing is, and what does cleansing mean to you and your practice as an Ayurvedic and a celebrated chef?
Yeah, cleansing. I've done it the wrong way for many years.
Haven't we all?
I suffered the consequences.
I feel like we need to live it to tell the story. So, you know, to add integrity and credibility to our story, we have to have all done it at least once the wrong way.
I have to tell you, this is a little bit of an embarrassment. Well, it's a learning experience. You know, when Vadim Mishra, I met him first in person, he read my pulse. And the first thing he asked me was, why is your liver so hot? Have you done a lot of cleanses?
Interesting.
And a lot of fasts. And I said, yes, I've done the liver flushes, the master cleanse. I mean, you name it. And he said, your liver is really angry. You're not, you know, we have to, your liver needs help, but it's not, you've been doing it the wrong way. So it actually damaged my liver with all these cleanses, but it's all good now. With the Ayurvedic protocols helped me bring it back to normal. But, you know, the first thing that I think it's the most important, if you feel that you want, one of the goals of cleansing is to restore the balance of the doshas. So for example, yes, right now we're finishing, summer is ending and fall is starting. And at this juncture between the two seasons, there is very often a high accumulation of pitta dosha, the heat in the body. So for those of us who are more overheated, we accumulated too much heat, it's still stuck in the body. Doing a simple proper cleanse will help to release this excess pitta and keep the channels in the body open so that when it gets cold, we don't get congested. So especially the junction between summer and fall, when you do, I call it guided cleanse, and we'll speak about guidance in a minute. Mm-hmm. But when you do a proper gentle, we're not talking about crazy cleanses, just something gentle to reset the doshas in your body to the more normal functions, then you will get much less sick in the cold season. You know, we tend to get congested when it gets colder and windy.
Yeah.
So this keeps the immune system strong by removing the accumulated doshas. So why guidance is so important? I wish I had the guidance when I was in my 20s and 30s.
Don't we all?
You know, because you do have, but it was all part of my journey, my learning experience. But it's very important to do a guided cleanse. Don't just read online and find somebody who can actually have a consultation with you, assess where you're at, see how strong your body is, see, you know, where the toxins are seated. Yes, part of the cleanse is to release toxicity from the body, but you have to know where they accumulated. What kind of toxins? Are they fat soluble? Are they water soluble? Where are they seated the most? Are they in your joints? Are they in the colon? You know, you have to figure this out with proper guidance. And then with proper guidance to, first of all, prepare your body for a cleanse and do the recommended protocol. So one mistake that a lot of people may do, and a mistake that I made multiple times, is that we don't prepare our body for a cleanse. Mm-hmm. Part of the preparation is to make sure that the channels in the body, all these physical channels in the body, the micro, everything is open. Because if you cleanse and making sure you're not constipated, you know, all the channels of elimination are clear and open so that elimination of toxins can happen. When the channels are not open, what happens is, my teacher used to give this example. It's like you go up to the attic that you haven't cleaned in a long time and it's all dusty, and you close the doors and the windows and you start sweeping. So the dust.
That is a colorful and pretty graphic example. It drives the point home. Point taken.
I mean, the dust just flows from one place and it goes somewhere else. So when we cleanse, and even with Panchakarma, this is like the traditional Ayurvedic way of cleansing the body. Even with Panchakarma, if the body is not ready, toxins will go from one place and go, and they will settle somewhere else. So with at Divya's, divya's.com, our retail store, we created a reset kit. which helps you.
I love that reset kit.
Yeah,
please tell us more. And I am on track on starting my reset in a few weeks, but not to hijack your journey and start talking about mine. Please tell us about the reset kit.
Well, I created the reset kit just to help people offer some guidance, right? I'm not able to test your doshas and check your doshas and see where you're at, but it's a very safe way for most people to do it. And it's a nutritional cleanse. It's not a fast that you stay away from food. I guide you. There's video. There's a little workbook. There's a lot of guidance and instructions, but it's very simple. It basically, I guide you how to prepare your body by specific teas and broths beforehand and adjusting your diet beforehand. And then for 3 days, you can do it three days in a row. The reset kit has your food for 3 days with our khichdi packets, our lentil soups, our amazing broths and teas. So you're kind of eating this, and it's full of prana, because even though it's packaged, there are no chemicals, it's not processed in any way. It's just ready to go in your pot, and you prepare it and you cook it fresh. So you'll have fresh food for 3 days. But you're kind of fasting from everything else. You know, you're fasting from the junk food, fasting from the carbonated drinks. I recommend fasting from coffee. Actually, some people, after doing the reset kit for 3 days, not drinking coffee, they don't feel the desire to start drinking coffee again, which is a huge win for me.
Many great stories to that tune.
Yeah. So you can do this like for 3 days, let's say you start, and I recommend that you rest also in these 3 days. So you can start on Friday, maybe take a day off on Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday. And if you feel a little extra tired, which it could be, because when we're tired, when the body rests, this is when the most important work happens on a mental, emotional level, and also on a physical level. And many people love it. You know, you feel much better afterwards. You feel lighter. You feel more clearer. And it may also help you make important decisions in life, because it's so hard to make decisions when our brain is kind of foggy. And that fogginess or lack of energy, that we lose motivation for life when we feel that way. And it's so hard to move forward. So to me, the reset kit is a reset. It's also like a mental reset. It gives you the clarity to see where to make the next step, how to move forward with your life.
I love that you said that. Another thing that I love about sort of these planned resets and your kit in particular is it starts to give you healthier ways of living, even beyond the kit. You start to think about, question older habits, older ways of eating. And even if that changes by 5, 7, 10%, the shift in direction to the course of your life can be so great. And I love your entire framing around this. You know, I love the kit. I love that you're offering it to our audience at 15% off with the code UMA15. We'll, of course, put it below the podcast as well. If you're building on this, how often do you recommend people do your cleanses? I realize there might be a two-pronged answer, because sometimes, you know, there's seasonality and there's also personal stuff. Mm-hmm. So please help us with both sort of answers.
Definitely the seasonality. I don't recommend doing it so much in the hot summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for spring and fall. These are the two transitional seasons that spring is the best time to cleanse, but fall also. And again, every time you feel that your body needs a reset, your mind needs a reset. Every time you feel kind of stuck internally, you know, every time you feel like if you ate the food that was not healthy and you didn't like it, but this was the only choice, you were traveling, you couldn't cook, you know, whatever it may be. If you feel that that food is just kind of stuck, the undigested, ama is called in Ayurveda, if it's kind of stuck in your body, that's a good time to do it. Every time you need to lighten up, it's a good time to do it. Lighten up physically, lighten up mentally, emotionally. And again, when you feel that you need to reset and gain clarity to move forward. And it does, it's really amazing how it does help you also. It gives you a glimpse of living a healthier life, of establishing habits, healthier habits that really serve your purpose and don't just block your purpose by lowering your energy and clouding your mind.
For sure. And hope is a powerful thing. So that glimpse can really be a blueprint for something much healthier emotionally and physically ahead. Divya, given this and realizing that there might be adjustments to life we may need to make during a cleanse, and some of them may not be plausible. Some people may not be able to take a Friday off. With that modicum of balance, are there things that you absolutely advise against doing while on a cleanse?
Yes, definitely. And that's also a set of instructions with the reset kit to tell you when not to cleanse. So definitely we spoke about pregnancy and postpartum. This is not the time to cleanse. So
good to know. I would see at least postpartum, there might be some temptation to do it. Not the right time.
No.
Good to know.
Also for pregnancy, because a lot of the cleansing foods are purging foods, like they support purging, right?
Yeah.
To eliminate foods. And during pregnancy, you don't want anything purging because it can cause miscarriage.
Yeah.
So during pregnancy and postpartum, it's all about eating nourishing foods that build the tissues. But before pregnancy, so part of the fertility protocols, cleansing is great. Because it prepares, it clears your body to welcome new life. Both for the father and for the mother. For both.
It's funny, many people's first preview into Ayurveda and Panchakarma, and I get told the story a lot, is when I think one of the Kardashian sisters who had a baby recently actually did a Panchakarma with her husband. I think it's Travis and Courtney. And many people got introduced to Ayurveda and Panchakarma via that route. So
yeah.
I chuckle because of how many people tell me about, oh, I just heard about Ayurveda and Panchakarma through this. But it was to enable their fertility journey, it seems.
Yeah.
They both did the Panchakarma process. But you're right. Many have found success with getting pregnant through Ayurveda, starting with a reset and a cleanse.
Yes. Yeah. So that's part of the cycle of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you should not do a cleanse, even our reset, if you're very tired. So if you're really exhausted and depleted, you should not cleanse during that time. You have to bring your energy up first. And sometimes, like my teacher would say, people have a lot of toxins and they really need to do a detox and cleanse. But first they put them on a nourishing diet to build up their stamina, because purging can be very depleting.
Yes. And we talked about that, about preparing the body. So.
Yeah. So you should not purge if you're very depleted. You have to build your stamina first and then do the cleanse. So very often, even during Panchakarma, patients go there and they have to stay longer because for the first 2 weeks, they just have to eat and build their energy and rest, build their energy. And then when they have better energy, they can do the purging. So it's very individual. You should not cleanse when you're menstruating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
if you just went through a big shift, or if you had surgery or like a drastic shift in your life, you have to wait a little bit to settle. But you can do it when you feel that you're kind of in the waiting room, you're waiting for the shift to happen. This is a good time to cleanse. But as you're going through the intensity of the transformation, the transition, the going into a new period of life, you need to settle first before you do any cleanse, because the cleanse just adds too much. It will be, you will not be able to focus, because see, also when you cleanse, especially if you're able to rest and cleansing is also not time to socialize and go out to clubs and stay at home, be with yourself. It's a great way to recenter, to do pranayama, to do like breathing exercise, gentle exercise, to kind of reconnect with yourself. This is your me time. This is your time for self, your personal self-care. So when you do that, you have the opportunity to reflect on your life. You have the opportunity to digest thoughts and emotions that, you know, especially if you've been running and not have the ability to slow down and digest your life. The cleansing is time for that. So slowing down, this will, and when you do that, it gives you so much power, because this self-reflection helps you gain the wisdom again to move forward, to let go of unhealthy habits, relationships. It just gives you clarity of where to make the next step, simply because you're slowing down and eating the foods that support that process.
I like that spin on it about how you're purging not just bodily toxins, but emotional toxins by readying yourself through this process of a cleanse. Divya, you touched on pranayama, which we know is breathing exercises yogically connected. Are there other mental, emotional, spiritual things you recommend we do during a cleanse? And I imagine some of it is likely in your readings, but would you mind sharing some of those practices with us live?
Yeah, I mean, some of the things you can do in at home is gentle stretches, gentle yoga, nothing too extreme, not heavy workouts, just gentle. It's important to do the stretching because this moves the lymph. And the lymph is one of the garbage cans in the body. The lymph moves out a lot of toxins. So movement is important, but gentle, gentle movement. And you can also do self-massage like Abhyanga. Well, it's not always recommended, especially if you're super toxic. But if you feel that you're not very, very achy and you know, this will give you stamina. And then after you do the self-massage with Uma oils, which is so amazing.
Why, thank you.
Then what you can do is either take a bath, like a warm bath. I like using magnesium chloride flakes in the water, some essential oils. Or if you have steam, you can steam to sweat. So sweating, especially to release heat from the body, sweating helps to take the excess pitta out of the body.
Completely. So, Svedana is such an important part of the Panchakarma. Yeah.
And then I love your, in the morning, every morning, I love your...
Garshana dry brush?
The oil pulling.
Oil pulling, yes.
Because this is great to clean the oral cavity, like swishing the Uma oil pulling oil in your mouth, like a tablespoon. It really helps to clean the oral cavity, and it feels so fresh, you know, afterwards. Yeah, these are everything has to be gentle though. And you have to see if you're too tired, just rest. And that's what I love about our kit also, is that you're cooking, but every cooking takes 20 minutes and you start it, and then for 20 minutes you can rest and you come back in 20 minutes and it's ready. It's not like very high maintenance cooking. You know, our packets, everything is pre-washed and dehydrated for you. The spices are in there. So it's the kind of cooking that doesn't take a lot of energy, but the food gives you a lot of energy.
As someone who is not at all a master in the kitchen, nor a fan of cooking, I can strongly attest to the simplicity of your kit and how much one loves it, especially when undergoing something like a reset, where, you know, you're you're in a restive mindset, not in something involved where you're pulling out all the drawers and a nice symbiosis between the kit and the restive, tranquil energy you're trying to cultivate during during your reset.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's really important for me, Shrankle, is that I take this time because I'm a very busy woman.
Yes.
I'm always so busy. And there's so many excuses to not do it, right? And to not make time for myself. But when I do the reset, I'm like, okay, these 3 days are days for my personal self-care. And I ask my husband and ask people around me, I need your support. Please don't bother me. Let me rest for these 3 days. I need this. And this is my loving care for my body and my mind. It's like I'm doing this as a self-love expression. And it's really, it can be a very transformational experience when I actually take the time and slow down to do it. So I always tell our clients is like, do this lovingly. Take care of yourself lovingly. That's what a byproduct of at the end of all this, a byproduct is that you will feel more energized. You will feel more vitality. You will feel clearer. And also your skin will be glowing, you know, because you ate cleansing foods. You cleared a lot of stuff.
And a nice also, byproduct, I'll agree.
Yeah. You rested and you just feel like, oh, wow, you look so good. So this is just a byproduct. You know, when I don't think about my skin when I do it, but very often the skin represents all the toxicity that's happening in the body. I mean, the skin is directly related to our digestive system.
I mean, which is why even, you know, as a skincare company, we preach the criticality of wholesome Ayurveda in that it's all 360. A skincare product will not single-handedly be able to fix something that's happening within. A wellness product might just be a band-aid to major stress you're feeling. So it is a multi-pronged approach. And for an excellent end, which is a wonderful life full of health, love, glow, vitality, success at business. So it's a worthwhile effort.
Yes. And it's pleasing. It's not like the process itself, the practice itself is very pleasing and enjoyable. It's not that it's something healthy that you have to endure to get the pleasing results afterwards. So,
yeah. And thank you for reminding us of that about Ayurveda. Divya, this has been incredible. I am re-inspired for my personal reset, which is going to happen in 2.5 weeks. I have a weekend set aside for that. I am very excited for us to get together in a few weeks. Again, as always, thank you so much for the generosity and the wisdom you always bring to these conversations. Any last words of wisdom we should glom on to before I let you go?
Well, we're going through a transition in seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going through some of us listeners might be going through transitions in life. And what's coming to me right now is to kind of relax into the transition, you know, flow with it. Don't be afraid of the changes coming. Don't be afraid of what's next. Just don't be stressed and, you know, contracted. Just relax into it. Relax into the seasonal or life transitions and welcome what's there to come as next steps in your life. And you will be surprised. It will be much more and better than you expected. But every time we relax and flow with what's coming to us, this is part of the flow. We invite more prana into our life. We part with the flow of prana rather than going against the current of it. So let's continue to flow in the beautiful current of life and prana.
Wise words to live by. Divya, thank you again for being here. And I look forward to chatting more very soon.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for continuing your very important work and your very important mission to serve people, to serve humanity, to serve women, especially in such loving and caring way. So we sisters in mission, Shrankla. I'm very
we
honored.
We sure are.
I know you're very grateful.
A pleasure and honor is all mine. Thank you, Divya.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast about cooking with love and prana and how food can truly support our health and soul. Divya has very generously offered our listeners a 15% discount on all items on divyas.com with the code UMA15. This is the second time Divya has graciously given her time to us. If you haven't already, I encourage you to also give the first podcast a listen on season one of the UMA Ayurveda podcast. You can learn more about Divya at umaoils.com/Divya, D-I-V-Y-A. As we conclude this episode, we invite you to delve deeper into the world of Ayurveda with Uma. Please subscribe to the Uma Ayurveda podcast to continue this transformative journey with our series of conversations that we hope you'll find enlightening. Visit umaoils.com, that is UMAOILS.com, for an even more immersive experience exploring not only our luxury Ayurveda products, but also an array of inspired wellness insight and lifestyle tips.